Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, we're back. This is your host for the next 2 hours. My name is LB Bork. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Hope everyone's having a wonderful week in this confusing world. Anyway, lots going on. Today I think we're going to talk about each panelist, you know, what they got going on and things of that nature and general activities around the United States and possibly around the world, kind of like an open forum, so to speak. As I said, my name's LB Bork. I'm with People's Awareness Coalition, kind of hosting this presentation. Got with me today Mike Gaddy and Dave Scorpio, and also John Breeson is going to be on, but he won't be on till the bottom of the hour. He's got family duties. He's one of the youngest, or he is the youngest man on the panel. He's 30 something. I'm not going to disclose it. I think he's 35, but I don't know for sure. So he'll be with us at the bottom of the hour, I believe. And yeah, so anyway, having said that, this is Revolution Radio. It's listener supported. Help us out. Go to the station website at freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and hit the donation button if you would. There's also Patreon. You can find that orange button within the mix of the stuff that's on the page there. And, yeah, just throw us some money or funds our way, because this is, again, listener-supported. And we don't rely on corporate sponsorship or even, you know, sponsors that would tell us what to do and say, or, you know, dare us to think out loud, or wouldn't dare us to think out loud because we couldn't, as I've been telling most people, or people in general lately, that this platform called social media is controlled by the liberals, and they're controlling speech. Even people like Joe Rogan went to Spotify, and basically his the staff of Spotify is censoring his work. And it's a big mess when you get into these organizations, and most of them are liberal, so then people aren't going to be able to tell the truth, because the goal is world communism, and basically that's the control of the economies of the world. Then they have all these liberal idiots that support it, and they have no idea what the whole program is. Anyway, I'm going to give it to Mike. For now, I'm dealing with the stupid lawn mowing that goes on here every Friday in a timely manner. So, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, LB. Hope you and Dave are well.
Yeah, why don't you and Dave kind of yuck it up for a while, because, like I said, I'm dealing with this. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to say it again.
Okay. Well, you got to have a little bit more control over your grass and decide when it grows and when it does not, LB.
No, that's right.
That's entirely in your bailiwick. And if you can't handle that problem, well, Dave and I will just yuck it up here.
It's not my grass, man. If it was mine, that wouldn't be happening right now. But, yeah, it's a neighbor. But anyway, yeah, in regard to that, just think if we as conservative types, I'm not conservative, I don't get into the label thing, but just think we had 10% of the money that was spent on groundskeeping and people's lawns to integrate into the movement to get something done.
Well, we are getting stuff done. The yard's getting mowed. Come on.
Yeah.
Priority, anyway. Buddy.
Yeah, anyway, I'm cutting out here for a few minutes. You two talk about your current events, what you guys got going on.
All right, Dave, what you got, buddy?
Well, you know, I've just been contemplating about how we really are in uncharted territory right now with what's being done to society. A lot of people's, the very core of their reality has been shattered. And, you know, I think a lot of people are simply in panic mode. And, of course, all the mainstream media does is report on more fearful things, things that we should be afraid of, you know, all the more reason why we should just stay at home. I even caught the news last night. They were talking about some kid that got caught in a seatbelt in his car and almost died. So we need to worry about the seatbelts now too, Mike.
Well, Dave, I think we have to face reality here. And I know, you know, we keep hoping. And when I think of hoping, I think of two things. Number one, hope is not a course of action. Neither is it a force multiplier. So the people who are going to sit on the side and hope, then have at it. Enjoy yourselves. And then I think also of Patrick Henry when he spoke of hope. And he said, we shall listen to that siren song of hope until we are all turned into beasts. And I think we are looking at the results of that as we watch the beast walking around with their mask on and believing anything the government says. It doesn't make any difference what it is. If the government says it, it is a word from on high, and it is to be adhered to. You know, it's just I'm waiting for the government to tell everyone to march off a cliff, and the people are just waiting till the government tells them which cliff to march off.
If they tell us to march off a cliff, Mike, it'll be for our own safety and our own well-being.
Well, naturally, and you know, what they will convince you of is all of the ecstasy you will experience before you hit the ground. So, and people will.
yeah, there you go.
And it is.
It's all about the journey, Mike.
Yeah, it's all about the journey. What we have is the culmination, Dave, of 100 years of socialist indoctrination called schools and colleges. And they have completely perverted the minds of us, you know, generations now for what, three, four generations for 100 years. We have a mass of institutionalized idiots in this country who, you know, as my grandfather used to say, don't know good, can't tell the difference between good crap and apple butter. So it's the end result.
Or shit from Shinola. That's the another old one.
Yeah, that one too. But we are living the culmination of this. Look at all the ways they've hit us. They've hit us in the education realm. They hit us in the media. Let's go back to 1981. We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. And so we are at that threshold as well. We believe everything that the talking heads say on the media. And, you know, I was thinking back when I was a kid, when the TV came on and it was all black and white, there was 15 minutes of local news and there was 15 minutes of national news. And that was 30 minutes a day. You did not have 24 hours indoctrination cycles going over and over and over and over, repeating the same thing over and over. That's simply mind control, Dave.
Yeah, it's the essence of propaganda, which is repetition. Absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, I don't think we should be surprised at what's happening. I really don't. It has culminated to this point. We have convinced the majority of people in this country that they can vote themselves out of this mess. when they've been voting themselves into this mess for their entire lifetime. So now the solution for the problem is not what caused it. And they can't seem to figure that out. There are axioms at play here. Number one is no country can ever be taxed into prosperity. It's never happened in history. It will not happen now. You just can't do that. And no nation of basically institutionalized ignorant will ever be in the realm of protecting themselves or providing freedom for themselves, because they believe that is endowed from the government. The government has become the god of the American people, and it must be obeyed regardless of what they say. This is the
Well, that's a good point. And you know, if you look at the United Nations Charter, all of your rights are granted to you by the United Nations, not from God or from a creator of some kind. So that's an important distinction. It might seem subtle at first glance, but it's huge.
Well, that is true. And now we even have in the judicial system the perversion of the word natural law. As this, in the early days of this country, natural law was the law that came from our creator. Now the judicial system has perverted natural law or common law to the point common law or natural law is now what the Supreme Court has decided in the past. So now they're using that term, which further makes the government the god of society, because now common law or natural law is what nine black robe bandits have said from one time or another. You know, those wonderful nine who are very well politically connected attorneys who are elected for life and with no recourse to their actions. You can't do anything. When they make a decision, then suddenly we accept it as law, and the people have no say-so. How do you appeal a Supreme Court decision?
Yeah, good point. So, you know, one thing that I'm seeing kind of in flux right now is it seems on some fronts the official narrative of this COVID crisis is starting to come apart like a cheap sweater. You know, it's unraveling. And I'm just wondering if plan, you know, they must have a plan B already cooked up. And it seems like they're trying to inch us into this idea that, you know, we might have to go to war with China in the near future. What are your thoughts on that as being a plan B?
Well, there are always they plan these things decades in advance, Dave, and they have you know, they have several plans. They have plan A, plan B, plan C, and the oh shit plan. So it's they plan for all contingencies with this stuff. So they have a plan ready for any way the public might go. If the public suddenly catches on to COVID, they have another plan sitting that they can enact right away. And so if you will notice, they had plans in line for when these things begin to show up, because they knew at some point in time this thing had to be revealed for what it was, and that it was nothing but a plandemic. It was a massive scheme, and at some point the people will realize that they have been seduced by the vision of a virus that is less deadly than the normal flu. But once that happens, then there will be some plan, and it may be a war. Wars are so convenient. Think about how these wars have come up. You know, the first U.S. bank was authorized for 20 years. So we go from 1791 to 1811. And so then the people said, hey, we've had enough of this bank. We're not going to put up with it anymore. So poof, what happens? The War of 1812. So the War of 1812 is over, and then poof, what happens? We have the second U.S. bank. So there's contingency plans. They lay these things out in advance. But the one thing that they have to have is a docile, ignorant society that will just accept these plans. It's not enough just to have a plan. You have to have a manipulated, a cultured society that will believe whatever you tell them. And that has been created. We have it now. I sat in a group of attorneys one time, and I asked the attorneys in Arkansas, I said, who is the final arbiter of what is and what is not constitutional in this country. And everybody in unison said the Supreme Court. There, if the entire judicial system believes that, then the American public believes it. And Thomas Jefferson said, if the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of what is and what is not constitutional, we do not have, our form of government is an oligarchy. And that's what
yeah,
we have.
That's very perceptive. Absolutely, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
So they're unelected, they're politically connected, or they wouldn't have that job to start with. And they are elected, they are put into position for life, not elected. They are appointed for life. And, you know, and we're not really sure, as you have illustrated before, we're not really sure one of them's still alive. They may just be sitting up the dummy every time they have a, because she appears to be asleep all the time anyway. And is probably one of the only people in the world who has survived cancer 9 times.
I know, it's amazing. Yeah, and she was born in 1933. It's getting a little past the shelf date on someone that should be making decisions that affect the entire country. You know, it's really, it's insane and it's ludicrous on many, many levels. But your point about these people being unelected and essentially the Supreme Court can be used to wrangle a decision on almost anything involved in people's lives. It's really quite incredible.
Well, here is the thing, Dave, and I made this point last night on my show with Terry Dodd. And I made this point last night in 1819, when 101 years ago, when the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who was an Alexander Hamilton acolyte, his name was John Marshall, and he was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, when he ruled in McCulloch v. Maryland that the government has implied powers, which basically means that he said they have implied powers that are not listed in the Constitution. So with that single ruling, he said that the government can do any damn thing it wants to. And they have been for the past 201 years. They've been doing anything they wanted to because it is cemented in stone or carved in stone by the Supreme Court that the government has powers that aren't expressly listed in the Constitution. So it means unlimited power. There is no limit to what the government can do, and they've been doing it. Look, we have 3 amendments to the Constitution that were never properly ratified, and they still reference them, and we're still governed by 3 amendments that were not constitutionally ratified. So we have, and originally, here was the point. I keep trying to make this point. In the very first edition that we first edition of the government was Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, which gave the government unlimited taxing powers by unlimited means for anything that that government deemed was necessary and proper. So we have there is nothing. We were slaves, economic slaves, from the time that Constitution was ratified. Because there is nothing that the government can't tax you on. There is no amount that the government can't tax you for. So I don't care what anybody says. You're an economic slave. And it happened when New Hampshire ratified in June of 1788.
Okay. So, okay. I was going to say, you guys are in trouble. I'm back. So I'm not saying anything different than what Mike just said, but I will say it's due to the people's ignorance is why they get away with this.
Well, the ignorance was planned, LB. This is not something that the people didn't find ignorance under the Christmas tree. The ignorance has been provided to them over a course of 100 years by the educational system, by the media, and it's the culmination. We are seeing idiocy, full-blown institutionalized idiocy in full bloom in America today.
No, I agree with that, but the gift under the Christmas tree is socialism.
Well, it wasn't a gift. It was actually brought to us in 1788 with that.
I understand that, but you know, I've said for a long time that people that depend on government are going to be enslaved by it, and that's been a historical fact. So
stop and think about the story. stop and think about this story, is the, and this is what Americans embrace. Okay, we had a government that was established in 1788 that will allow the government to take any amount of your personal property, which is your money, or your personal property if you don't pay that money. They can take anything that belongs to you in any proportion for any reason they deem necessary and proper. And it was inspired by God. So that is the death knell. You've got a government that was inspired by God that says you're a slave. So live with it.
Now, if you let them. That's the way I look at it. But the masses have accepted socialism, which the politicians say we're not, which is total BS. The citizenship is socialist. That's my story now, from now on out, is, you know, if you look at things like Bouvier's Law Dictionary that was put together pre-Civil War, they say that the civil law is foreign law. So that means the societal law is the common law, as they have put it. So people have suckered into this by letting the government take care of them. You know, it's been going on, like you say, since the Constitution was put in place. But yeah, I just blame people at this point. I don't really blame the government. Yeah, they dangle the carrot. There's no doubt about that. That's why Karl Marx put the mandatory public school education, you know, free education, as he put it, in Plank 10 of the Communist Manifesto. So,
well, did the people have to agree to that?
What, the well, in Wisconsin they did, because it's part of the Wisconsin Constitution that was put in place in 1848, the same year the Communist Manifesto was released on the world. So supposedly, yes, but with the 14th Amendment in place, you have options. That's my position. You don't have to participate in this insurgent government. So,
again, LB, how can we accept an amendment to the Constitution and say it's in place when it was never ratified?
People individually ratify it by voting.
Well, that's not the process listed in the Constitution for
ratification, right.
LB.
That's right. But they're doing it anyway. Why are they doing it?
Well, they're
it
not
says
doing
it's a crime. It's
ratified.
A crime to vote. It's even a crime to vote.
The people are doing it because the government is their god, and it has to be obeyed.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying ignorant. It gets back to ignorance again.
Well, you guys are talking about ignorance, and I just want to go back to the schools, because that's like the root of the problem here. And, you know, some time ago I came across a school book from, you know, the late 1800s. For like, it was either seventh or eighth, you know, grade level book. The book contained, you know, complex math that you were supposed to learn. There were sections on the ancient philosophers and mythology. That kind of stuff was being studied at that time and teaching people important life lessons that are timeless, absolutely timeless. So, moving forward, now we have this corona thing, and it's too dangerous to open the schools. All the kids are going to die. But is this not an opportunity to say, hey, screw the schools. Let's leave them closed. They're no good. They're not worth anything anyway. And let's find a new way to educate our kids, because they're not getting educated.
Well, Dave, that's a great point. But when did you say that this was in 18 what?
I don't remember the exact year of the book, 1870s, early 1880s.
Well, that's a great contrast, because according to the Reese Commission, three nonprofit organizations took over the education in this country around 1912. So
right.
We were probably teaching good stuff up until the Marxists took over the education system. And so once they got their plan from the Communist Manifesto, as LB alluded to, once that plan was in place and then it was financed by these three nonprofit organizations, who in 1912 put I think somewhere between $60 and $80 million into this total Marxist indoctrination, and the people accepted it.
Yeah. Let's not forget what Mike mentioned about the bankers. The landholders, the farmers of the late 1800s or the Civil War period, were indebted due to the bankers offering mortgages on their farms. And by the 1920s, they had them all bankrupt and moving into the cities. So, yeah, the bankers
had
a lot
true.
To do with it, too. But that's all part of, you know, the slow process or the progression of communism.
Well,
I guess my question to both of you is, do you see an opportunity that may not have been planned for by, you know, the shadowy overlords? That schools, we can't open the schools, guys, it's too dangerous. Is there an opportunity now to say, hey, let's keep them closed and just scrap the whole thing?
I agree with that. That's a great, position or observation or thought. But, you know, people are so brainwashed into this socialism that they think they're not, because Trump told them they're not, amongst other people. We're capitalists. We're not socialists. But anyway, people are so, mind-washed with that system that they're not willing to let it go. But, yeah, that is an option. It's a great option at this point.
Well,
it's kind of like a reboot.
The thing we all have to understand is that comfortable people never. So it has to get – the only way that the people of this country are ever going to wake up is to become terribly uncomfortable. And I believe that's on the horizon. But will they do it early enough and in sufficient numbers? That's the question.
Yes. I just posted a video that someone on YouTube made on the Minneapolis teachers or the principals. They're all lined up based on a shooting of some student yesterday. They're all in protest of what's going on in Minneapolis. So this COVID crap is really causing some problems. And anyway, we got a break, gentlemen. We'll be back in about 3 minutes after station announcements. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is September 18th. Thanks for joining us. See you in a couple.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
troops. Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Oh, we're back, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is September 18th. Hope you're all doing well. My name's LB Bork, host of this extravaganza. Just kidding. We're talking a bit about this and that today, current events, things that are going wildly wrong on purpose. I don't know if you're a first time listener, but yeah, this is all programmed, people. I knew this was coming 20 years ago or longer than that, 25 years ago, and I got into the movement. If you got into the movement back in the 90s, if you dug deep into the so-called patriot movement of the day or time, you knew what was going on. But even back then, it was scattered. I had to do my own research and come to my own conclusions. And that didn't happen until about 1998 for myself. And I found out what the problem was and found out it was world communism is what they were installing. And you could see things slowly happening with the announcement by Bush in, what was it, 1991, where he said they're going for a new world order, but they've been doing it longer than that. Hitler had a new world order going to also. So, you know, this has been going on for a good 500 years, I would say. But they're at the point where they are changing things into the new age, the age of Aquarius, where they're taking religion or the creator out of the equation, and man's going to be God in this new age. And Mike, who's with me today, Mike Gaddy and Dave Scorpio, both have programs here on the station also. I think they're both on – yeah, they're both in Studio A. But Mike mentioned before the break that – we're, you know, at a tipping point or a turnover, and I'm trying to remember exactly what he said, but I think things can be pushed in the right direction, and it's up to people to do that now, and that's what we need people to do, get involved and start pushing. Dave, you mentioned, you can pick this up after I get done here in a second, but yeah, the schooling, for example, homeschooling. People need to start thinking about that. Have you thought about this, Dave, at all? Homeschooling?
Oh, yeah. Homeschooling is the answer, or one of the answers. Another answer is for communities to start creating their own schools with their own guidelines and curriculum that completely decentralized from the government or government funding. It has to be completely separated and decentralized.
Yes. Well, like I mentioned last segment, Wisconsin has it built into their constitution about mandatory public schooling. And of course, that's Plank 10 of the Communist Manifesto, came out the same time as the statehood of Wisconsin was of the same time as the Communist Manifesto. And we knew that was going to be programmed based on facts and history. But of course, these people have an agenda, and people are going to have to get it through their minds that they're being controlled, like Mike said last segment about the program. And it's all been that way for, like I said, about 500 years now. And it's taken them this long to get this far. And I've said for a long time, and I've heard other people say it, if this is such a good idea, why don't they just tell us about it, you know? Mike, what do you think about that? Do you think that what the New World Order is a good idea?
Well, absolutely not, LB. And but there was one of the members of the intelligentsia who tried to tell us in the 1960s, and he said that, yes, he recognized the deep state or the shadow government or the international bankers, whoever you want to call this conglomerate. He said that, yes, they control the governments and they are in place. And he embraced it. And he said that really he thought because they were so important to our everyday life that they should be revealed and they should be made public. And he tried to do that in a book called Tragedy and Hope. And that was
Carol Quigley.
Carol Quigley. If you, I don't know if any of you have read it. That is a massive book. But I've read it through twice, and he just basically tells you what they've done and what they're going to do. And, you know, and he goes into the part about elections. Oh, we'll let the people believe that every 4 years they can kick the bastards out of office and put in new people. But he says, but nothing ever changes. Well, history shows that he's exactly right. They continue on their same agenda. It doesn't make any difference who you put into the back of the bus. The bus is going where they want it to go. And you can put all the passengers in there you want. It has no meaning. And I covered that in an article about 10 years ago. And I said, it's not the people, it's the machine. It makes no difference who you put in there. It's still going the same direction because it is not controlled by the people you put into office that you believe are doing it. So if you can find old Carol Quigley's book, which the government fought hard to keep from being published initially because they thought that Quigley was letting the cat out of the bag. Something like James Madison exclaimed after Alexander Hamilton proposed a monarchy at the Constitutional Convention. James Madison said, whoopsie, let the cat out of the bag. So that proves it was a conspiracy to start with. They had planned to institute this form of government all the way back then.
Well,
yeah, you know, and what's fascinating about Quigley's book is that he's writing it from the point of view that these are good things. These are things necessary for our society, and he's just sort of telling people what they're doing. It's really quite incredible.
They don't really need to hold that book back because all they have to do is put The Simpsons on television or something of that sort to distract them.
Or Dancing with the Stars.
It's like Dancing with the Stars, so it's not like the average person's going to take the time to read it.
Right, it is a big book. I have it. I have to admit, I haven't read the whole thing, and Mike's read it twice. But I pick up things here and there, and try to make my own decisions based on observations. I did read the Communist Manifesto, and that's what woke me up. You know, you start reading this material, and if you have an open mind and try to look past the BS. I realized right away that the Communist Manifesto was an architecture for monopolizing profits of the elite. Anyway, go ahead, Mike.
And we have a government alphabet agency in place to enforce all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. Not one agency, but multiple agencies in place to enforce the Communist Manifesto, and not one agency in this government to enforce the Bill of Rights.
That's true.
Well, that's a great
CIA
point, Mike.
Is the biggest one. Yeah, that's a funny, great people point. Don't get it, but
Well,
by the way, folks, it is a crime to vote. Based on what we kind of brought up last hour, they didn't ratify the 14th Amendment lawfully, so they had to get people to rebel against the original system. So they actually put it in Section 2 of the 14th Amendment that it's you have to rebel to vote, and they also neatly said it's also criminal to vote. So that's what they use against people to take their natural rights that Mike was talking about away and subject them to the system. Totally. They're in servitude.
Let me ask you guys a question. I think it's becoming apparent to more and more people that the federal government really is not reformable. it doesn't matter who the president is to some degree. It's just a matter of how quickly you want to go down the same road. You know, Trump may have slowed things down a little bit, but that's about it. So I'm wondering, what do you think is going to happen here in the next couple of years in the United States? Because, you know, there's a growing movement of people that are getting out of the cities. You know, rural property is super hot right now all over the country. Where do you think this is leading between the, you know, the two groups of consciousness that we have in the country right now?
Go ahead, Mike.
Even at that, Dave, you know, you were on the program with my Addicted to Your Own Destruction with my friend from over 10 years back, Wendy, up in Idaho. And she says that even the people who have moved into Idaho in vast numbers, and she said the property up there now goes to the highest bidder. You don't even have to list your property. You basically auction it off.
Wow.
And that its property is so in demand. But she also, in a conversation, she told me that there are so many of those people who are there who have bought property like they did and ruined Montana. So many people out of California have moved there.
Yes.
That they influence the system just as much as anyone else.
Yes.
But one of the points I would like to make, Dave and LB, is we talk about homeschooling, and my question has been this. We've got 100 years of indoctrination. Who the hell's going to teach these people?
That's exactly right.
Who has the knowledge to teach these people the difference?
We're talking about what they're going to do now. You know, we're talking about the virus they plan to put in place to confuse things and take out the middle class that much more, you know, family businesses, et cetera. And, you know, the other things they're doing to confuse issues and cause chaos. Another thing people are really worried about, and it gets to the point what Mike just made on ignorance. The Constitutional Convention that's probably going to arise in the near future. I think they supposedly have the enough states to do it, but these people are all Marxist. They don't realize it. You know, they got people in this conservative camp and the liberal camp, but they're all Marxist and they don't realize it. And I don't want these people deciding our future or, you know, the United States future, the several states, I should say. They have no business deciding anything because it's not going to be about freedom. It's going to be about Marxism or communism. So people better start getting together.
All these people that are trying to get to a rural lifestyle, they're seeking something different than Marxism, I think.
Well, they think they are, but like I said a few minutes ago, all these principals are wanting their socialist schools back. And you say, Dave, that we should be looking in a different direction. And they don't know what to do. They think things are in chaos.
Well, here's one answer to Mike's question. Who would teach this? Perhaps the way to start is to look at some of these old school manuals and get some idea of what the curriculum was back when people were really smart. You look at the intelligence level of people during the founding of the country, it was vastly higher than it is now. It's incredible. And so much of it has to do with studying the classics. Studying classic literature, studying, you know, mythology and the ancient philosophers. That was the root of, you know, that's sort of the basis of all Western knowledge that's still available.
Yeah, it is. But who's going to be able to voice that opinion? I mean, there's a small percentage of us that understand that. I kind of jokingly put a group together. I think you're in it, Dave, maybe not. The anti-socialist, and I equated it with being the people of the time being the anti-federalists when the Constitution was put in place, even though, you know, we're 230 years difference here. We're basically saying the same thing. And look how back even then the anti-federalists got buried. They didn't have a voice, really. They got buried by the establishment or the people in control. Here we have the internet, the biggest vast communication thing in world history, and they buried me. 10 years ago when everyone started to get aware or woke. They buried my material totally, and no one's given me any attention anymore. So they've done it again effectively, even with this mass communication that we have available to us, because no one's working together, and they put social media out there, which gave every narcissist and egomaniac a platform to steal people's information and broadcast it themselves like they're better than other people. And no one's working together. And they're just repeating what they've been told to think. So we've got a bigger mess, I think, now than we did back during the Anti-Federalist period when they put the Constitution in place. Mike, what do you think about this?
I'm here. Here's one thing I would like to bring up, and this, I think, takes us back. Let's go back to the year 740 BC, and let's look at the prophet Isaiah, and there has just been the rule of a king called Uzziah, and it ends up being corruption to the level that we are seeing today, and of course, on a different plane, but the same type corruption, the same type of people haven't changed. So we had the same type thing. So let's look at the prophet Isaiah during this time frame. And I think this is most revealing. And in the year of Uzziah's death, God commissioned Isaiah to go out and warn the people of the wrath to come. And he said, tell them what a worthless lot they are. Tell them what is wrong and why and what is going to happen unless they have a change of heart and straighten up. Don't mince matters. Make it clear that they are positively down to their last chance. Give it to them good and strong and keep on giving it to them. But I suppose perhaps I ought to tell you that it won't do any good. The official class and their intelligentsia will turn up their noses at you and the masses will not listen. They will all keep on in their own way until they carry everything down to destruction, and you will be lucky if you get out with your life. We are reliving the exact same thing today. These people are not going to change. We hope they will, but there's a number like, I'm proud to be in the group that has the eyes to see and the ears to hear and knows that this thing is totally corrupt and has been since its inception 230-some years ago. But you're not going to wake up enough people. If you think you're going to wake up enough people, you're going to end up a frustrated, crazy person because it's not going to happen. So what do you do when you know something is not going to happen? You deal with what you know or the facts that you have. We can't go batshit crazy because people aren't listening to us, because they're not going to listen to us in any significant numbers.
No, I agree. I think that's an interesting point, Mike. But okay, so back to the question I was sort of posing, what do you think is going to manifest in terms of some kind of a conflict between people that realize what's going on and those that don't? How do you see that shaping up?
Well, it's like, and I think all we have to do is to look at any socialist society. Let's go back and look what's happened to any socialist regime. It always ends the same way. You have the ultra wealthy and you have the people scrapping for food out of dumpsters or garbage cans. And look at Venezuela. If you want an example, look at Venezuela. It's going to get much worse before it ever gets better. So the secret in my mind is two things, education and preparation. You prepare for what's coming, and those who fail to prepare to fail. It's very simple. And so you prepare for what's coming, you get ready for it, and you accept it, and you don't go mentally bonkers because it's happening, because it's going to happen. So once you accept that it's going to happen, it will not shock you out of your drawers when it does happen.
Well, and do you think that the reality as we know it is in the hands of the Creator, and that there's some kind of solution that's coming in the future, or what? How do you see that?
Well, I think that is the, and I made this statement in an article about 15 years ago, without the divine intervention, this thing is broken and it's going to crash. I made the analogy of an election of having a plane that has lost all power, is out of fuel, and is diving towards the earth at Mach 1 speed, and people believe that if they change the pilot, it will suddenly fix the aircraft. And that was my analogy back then. I still believe the same thing today. This thing is not going to get
That's done. A good analogy, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Divine intervention would be a nice thing, but I don't know if we're heading towards that right now, because the other thing that they've done simultaneously, along with dumbing people down, is removing a sense of morality and sort of replacing it with moral relativism, you know. Hey, it's all good, man. Do what feels good, you know, that kind of thinking.
Well, that's a new age way of thinking, and it's a disaster waiting to happen, and it is happening. My whole thing has been, and I got out of the system 20 plus years ago, and I'm trying to lead by example, and everyone says, you're poor. Well, the United States is bankrupt. All these millionaires and billionaires have made this money. It's fruit from the poisonous tree. It's all fraud. It's people are involved with fraud. And all I see is people hanging on to this fraud, and it's not getting any better.
Well, guys, there's one thing, too. I mentioned the education system. I mentioned the media. The other thing that we have failed to mention as a catastrophic failure in this country is the church. The church have failed the people tremendously. The evangelist Charles Finney said back in the 1800s that any problem that develops in society, you will find the answer in the pulpit. And that is exactly what happens. He says, when the government becomes corrupt, look to the pulpit. When the people lose their faith, look to the pulpit. And he predicted that over 100 years ago, almost 200 years ago. And look where we are. We have a colossal failure of the education system, a colossal failure of media, the information pipeline, and we have a colossal failure of the churches. So where are you going to find a remedy in that?
Right. I don't think you can look to the system for it. And that's why what I kind of see coming is a great separation that's already happening. And people of like mind are going to start congregating in certain areas of the country, and it's going to kind of come down to, you know, come get us. I think that's what we're looking at in the near future.
Well, I think the government's going to promote that, Dave. The government needs chaos. A government thrives on chaos. If you have peaceful interaction between the people, that's why we're pushing this race war. If you have peaceful interaction among the people, there's no need for government. You quickly realize you don't need these people telling you what to do if everything is peaceful. People grasp onto government and want to clutch government because they want to use government to get even with that guy they don't like.
Right. But what happens if you have a group of people that congregate in a state or a region and just start living outside the system as much as they can, and start creating a harmonious way of living with one another? What do you think that would what would happen next after that?
Well, let me give you just a little bit of an example. Right now, and I'm not going to tell anybody where it is, but I'm in a community of something over 200 people. Not 200 people, 200 individual families. And I can tell you, within this village that I will call it, I have not seen, since I have been here, and that's been several months now, I have not seen one person with a mask on. Not one. And they interact freely, they talk freely, they meet together. Several people, now that it's getting cooler, are beginning to have bonfires where people sit around and talk and converse. And the majority of the people in this community fully realize that this thing's broken, and it's broken beyond repair. And it's basically, and people help each other. I see that quite a bit here. If someone has to go somewhere, people look after their property. It's kind of going back to the old time world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It reminds me of we're much closer together than were the people when I grew up. but it's the same type philosophy, and it's taking place. A lot of folks, you know, I was walking up the road today and talked with several folks who were sitting outside because it's a lot cooler than it has been, and people were sitting outside, and we were talking about various things. But you walk by at least 20 or 30 different homes, and you see people outside, you see people talking, you see people going about their business, and no one has on a mask. Not one person.
Right.
If you go out,
and that inherently means that those people all understand that there's no real risk, that this is a hoax or some kind of fraud on the behalf of the government. And I'm even noticing people that do wear a mask. I'm seeing more and more people, they have it so it's not covering their nose, or it's just loosely halfway on their face. You know, it's not like it was in the beginning where people were really adamant and had the mask strapped on tightly. You know, I'm even with the maskers, I'm seeing a more lackadaisical attitude and approach to mask wearing.
Well, I saw an older gentleman, and that's hard for me to say because I'm no spring chicken. But I saw an older gentleman yesterday, and we were talking as we were walking down the road or the pathway here. And we were talking about the people who were wearing masks, and he made a very salient point. He said, "Do these people not realize that if this damn virus was real, they would have it by now?"
That's a good point. And, you know, I was talking with this lady down here who probably has, you know, a grade school education. You know, she runs a little fruit stand. And, you know, I told her, look, this whole thing's a hoax. And she said, you know, I've been thinking that myself. And she said, well, you know, how come none of the world leaders have gotten this and died if this is so real?
Yeah. How many billionaires have died from COVID?
I don't know. All I know zero. Is Biden wears his mask all the time when he goes on television. So he's doing his duty. Anyway, that's the end of this hour. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back for another hour after these station breaks, or announcements, rather. See you in a few.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a civil majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity. stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, we're back, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today's program is being broadcast on September 18th. This is, again, the second hour of the broadcast. We got another hour to go. Our good friend John Breeson joined us during the break, and we've been talking about this and that with Mike Gaddy and Dave Scorpio. My name's L.B. Bork, founder of People's Awareness Coalition, and some people think I like to complain a lot about how bad things have gotten the last 10 years, which it has. It seems like a lot of people have woken up in the last 10 years, excuse me. But yeah, we're just talking about current events and things of that nature. And I wanted to go into what each individual on the panel today is doing in respect to their own private work. And we do have a good panel of people here. All the ones I just mentioned are involved in things I think are important in regard to people understanding what's going on. And yeah, we talked a lot about negativity and doomsday last hour, but Mike, I think, ended on a good positive note in regard to people becoming more self-reliant like they were maybe 50 years ago. We've been into this a good 150 years with the programming. So a lot of people know that follow history and the history of America, especially. I was talking to people in Canada even this last week, and their people came over here as Americans did to get away from the tyranny of Europe, or the king as it was. So basically the same thing happened. I think Thomas Jefferson said it best in the Declaration of Independence. He said something to the effect, meaning the king, sent hither swarms of agents to eat out our substance. That same thing happened with the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment is totally predicated on agencies, and hither swarms of agents to come and eat out the state substance. And of course, it's done not only locally, but from the federal arena, which it didn't before the 14th Amendment or the Civil War. There's been tools that they've used prior to that, and it just got worse and worse. And like I tell people, the 14th Amendment and its agencies are part and parcel of world communism. And the engine behind that is socialism. You know, getting people involved in government and giving up all the rights, which takes us back to what Mike said, basically, about people getting back together and acting as a community unit instead of a socialist centralized unit that Marx said was necessary to control the people and make them slaves of the economic system. Having said that, hi, John. You haven't had a voice yet today. What do you have to tell us?
Hey, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well.
Kind of a slow news day today. I guess they're ramping up for the supposed Biden-Trump debate in a few weeks. So I guess we shall see.
Is that going to happen, do you think? Do you think they're going to take Joe Rogan like he offered?
I don't think they're going to deal with Rogan, but I think it's going to happen. I think Trump, I think Biden, he was able to do that town hall. So I'm pretty sure at least one debate will happen at this point. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So what do you have going on? I mentioned last hour we're going to talk about each panelist's doings and what they're up to. I listened to one of your podcasts last night, or not podcast, but I guess it was a podcast on YouTube. It sounded pretty interesting. You talked about why are we hanging on to, what was it you called them, shills or...
Why do we trust spooks?
Spooks, like, yeah. Like you got to be careful. You got to be careful with that. You got to be careful with that terminology. Anyway.
Ex-CIA agents, you know, right. Robert David Steele, Kevin Shipp, you know, all these ex-CIA agents are coming out and they whistleblow, but then they start talking stuff like sex slaves on Mars and aliens. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
So what do we see?
Distraction, you know. It's that's why I didn't. Sorry, I didn't mean to step in.
No, I was going to say Steve Pachinik, too.
Yeah, on InfoWars. That's a big one, right?
Saying the Constitution's antiquated. We need a new one. You know, let's go ahead and do a constitutional convention. Go and get a new constitution in there.
Yeah, which I mentioned last hour before you came on. You probably didn't hear it, but I was talking about that. And the people, the so-called representatives now, are totally Marxized, as I call it. And I don't want these people deciding the future of America at all. And it's unfortunate that we don't really have a voice. You know, we're, what, in the less than 1% of people getting it? I mean, since... 2008 is when I see they started commandeering the movement and turning it from the patriot types into political types. And of course, if you're woke today, basically you're just being red pilled right into the red, what I call the red vortex, which is world communism. And we have a chance, I think, to pull it out of that, but people have to get educated properly and start working towards the truth instead of what they want us to know. And that gets into what you were talking about with these spooks that are behind there. And I was going to comment on your broadcast, but I lost it due to touching the wrong thing on that stupid pad. So I got to go back and probably post something that... is more trustworthy on the computer. These newfangled technologies I just don't get into. But anyway, it was a good podcast. I liked it. One thing go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just don't see why, you know, I'm not going to say that there is, like, I do know one good ex CIA agent who was Mr. Henry Clements. I interviewed him for the Finders case, in the Glendale Montessori School case. But the reason why he left and became disillusioned on all this about everything was because someone very close to him was molested by James Toward in the Glendale Montessori School case.
Wow.
So because of that, you know, that's what he learned about how crooked and corrupt everything is. And he's been railing about it ever since until they pushed him almost into obscurity, you know. And he's not like Robert David Steele saying there's sex slaves on Mars or, you know, Trump's our guy, or, you know, any of that stuff. He's just talking about those two cases that he was involved in investigating. And everything. So, you know, it does happen once in a blue moon. They're not all bad, you know, like Ramon J. Martinez,
right.
officer in the Finders case, but they're very rare. It's like finding a unicorn, you know.
Yeah. John, Gordon Duff is another one of those characters that spouts a lot of BS.
Yep. Gordon Duffy,
and, you know, both him and Steve Pachetic, they're like, you know, they've lived these lives where they've done everything. Their stories are somewhat unbelievable, at least to my ears. Like Forrest Gump.
No, I agree, Scorpio. And Forrest Gump. Gordon Duff says one time that 70 to 80% of everything he says is disinformation. So Gordon Duff is like one out of every 100 things he says is probably true, because a broken clock is right twice daily. Even the same with Steve Pachetic. They can't lie 100% of the time. No one can. But the problem is they're not our guys and they're not working in our favor at all. They're disinformation agents. So
yeah,
you don't.
Yeah.
Anything they say, trust but verify. I mean, trust. Don't trust. You got to verify, I guess what I should say. But
it's hard for people to discern unless they do the deep research, as you have. And I don't even do the real deep research on a lot of things. I use surface information. And like you, John, I read the documents. I trust what they put in law and in the code, you know, the statutes and whatever, and read the Constitution to understand the 14th Amendment, for one thing. And I've been told by several people that you can't find anything on Section 2, 3, and 4. And I'm the only one that's analyzed it and done the research to attach what's going on with the world communism in regard to it. So you can't even trust what they say, is what I'm getting at. And they've skewed law over the last 150 years to the point where people don't even know what's really going on with that. So it is even hard reading the documents at times. So, yeah, it's hard for people to discern what is true and what's not. And I was going to say that, you know, David Icke, I don't even trust. And you talked to me this week about even Steve Bannon can't be trusted. And he, on its face, he looks like a great guy because he went after Kissinger. And yeah, that's a thing that needed to be done. But you've done the research on him, and even he's questionable.
Well, Steve Bannon is very questionable. Yeah, long-term counsel for national policy member. He was involved with Mark Collins Rector and Brock Pierce. Of course, Mark Paul Collins Rector is a pedophile. The whole he tied it with Brian Singer, they were they owned this MMO like gold farming company altogether. And of course, Steve Bannon, it does the birding of the Mercer family. And the Mercer family are ultra Zionist, pro-Trump faction CMP members. So that's who is above Bannon. That's who pushes Bannon's strings. Again, when do we trust a former Goldman Sachs banker to be our guy? Just like many people out there trust Tucker Carlson. They love watching him on Fox News, and yeah, I like watching Tucker too sometimes, you know. But then again, I know who's behind him, and I mean, you know, Neil Patel, the founder of the Daily Caller, with him was the advisor to Dick Cheney. He was a Council for National Policy member. The Daily Caller was started money by the former Council for National Policy president Foster Fries, who also funded Turning Point USA with the Zionist Charlie Kirk. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, Tucker's not our guy. For the God's sakes, his stepmother's a Swanson. He's blue blood as they come. All right. He's I've done two shows on Tucker, and some people just can't get it through their heads. They're like, oh, Tucker's out there fighting. It's a false dialectic.
Yes.
Tucker doesn't care about you. Bannon doesn't care about you. Yes. They wave the populist flag, and they're all like America first, but they have their masters. They bow down to their masters. And once you figure that out, you know, then you can start to see why they push certain narratives. Steve Bannon, after his arrest, went on Tucker to beat the war drums for war with China. I don't want no ground war with China. I don't want deal with the military governmental industrial complex. Yeah, trade war with China, you know, tariffs, sure. But a ground war isn't going to end. That's going to be World War III. So, Scorpio, do you know anybody else that you're a suspect of that were former agents in that joined the movement as being like, oh, we're truth tellers now? You mentioned Gordon Duff earlier, which is a great mention. And anyone else you can think of?
Not off the top of my head, but I would add one thing about this whole conversation. There are people that really do have a falling out with these intelligence agencies. And I'm not saying that they necessarily joined the movement, but, you know, my eldest uncle was a member of the UDT, Underwater Demolition Team. And then he got involved in naval intelligence and doing all kinds of kind of mysterious intelligence work. And then somewhere along the line, he had a real falling out with these people, and they proceeded to harass him for the rest of his life. It's really an incredible story.
It does happen. Don't get me wrong. There are people who find out the clandestine operations and they leave once they realize that's what's happening. It does happen. But I
share your suspicion for anyone that comes into the truth movement saying, hey, I'm an insider and I used to be in the CIA and I'm going to tell you what's really going on, guys. I totally agree. That's usually a Judas goat.
Yes, that excellent term. Yes. Very much so, Judas goat. So there are many of them at this point. And look at that Chinese whistleblower. Her paper was funded by the Chinese exile billionaire Miles Guo and Stephen Bannon, that they're going around, you know, saying that this is definitive proof. Now, I believe that the coronavirus was a gain of function virus. Okay, it's very likely. But the thing is they're trying to push it all completely on China. And even if it is the Chinese, even if it did come from the Wuhan laboratory,
I don't think it did, though.
Go a hot war with China. And that's what Steve Bannon wants.
And it may have. There's no way to know. But even if it did, well, who taught the Chinese how to do all this stuff? Who taught the Chinese how to build a bioweapons lab in the first place? Obviously, it was the so-called deep state of the United States.
Yes.
And, you know, China, we have done everything we can to build China into the best enemy money can buy. Let's be honest.
Well, jump in, Mike.
So true, Scorpio.
Mike, you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, do you probably had something to add to this, because you've talked about the virus things that the military does.
Well, when you start talking about former intelligence agency people, I'll just listen.
Okay.
I was kidding. I got a question for John.
Yes, Mike, go ahead.
John, what are your thoughts on Ray McGovern?
The name sounds familiar, but offhand, hold on. I think, wasn't he a form? He was, let me look before I open my mouth, because I don't want to be wrong.
Come on.
I don't know much about him other than being a former CIA agent. I mean, did he come out? Okay, so it says he came out to talk bad about torture, but then again, he goes on RT and Sputnik News a lot. Huh. That's interesting. So he's going on Russian propaganda. He's going. That's very
interesting. Very interesting, yes.
Well, he was a Russian linguist for the CIA. He was the top Russian linguist in the Central Intelligence Agency. And he sat on several committees. And they sent him to brief presidents. I think there are three or four presidents he was sent to brief on our affairs with Russia. And but he actually, and of course, you know, all this can be staged, but he gave a couple of speeches in places, and one time he was physically beaten up for trying to give a presentation or what have you. But I found, with some knowledge that I had, I found McGovern to be credible on several fronts, but that has to happen. Because no one's going to listen to anyone if they're not credible on at least a couple of fronts. But I just wondered about your thoughts about McGovern.
I don't know too much about him, Mike, but looking at him, it's very curious to me that he's going on Russia Today and Sputnik News quite frequently. You know, like, why is he going on? And I have a question about anybody who frequently goes on Russia Today, going on, you know, the mouthpiece for the Kremlin. You know, it's like, okay, so, I don't know. That's just interesting that, you know, he's a former agent. Like you said, he's a Russian linguist. He blows whistleblows on torture in the 2000s. And then now on, he's going on Russia Today and Sputnik frequently.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would be caught on Russia Today or Sputnik. It's just me, but I would. I'm good.
Speaking about Russian agents, that Yuri, Beznikov, is it?
Yuri Bezmenov.
Bezmenov, yes. He's been in the news or in the movement, language or, people's minds lately. You brought him up on your cast last night, and I thought it was interesting because, I don't know if it was you or your guest, made mention that he appeared with G. Edward Griffin, who I haven't trusted for a long time.
It was me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So he comes over. Yuri Bezmenov comes over.
Right.
And guess who smuggles him over to the United States?
Right.
The CIA and Pierre Trudeau.
Yes.
Justin Trudeau's father. So Yuri comes over here, and the first major platform he's given is the John Birch Society with an interview with G. Edward Griffin to speak about the ills of communism, which are many, do not get me wrong. But the Cold War was a freaking sham. So he comes over, he says all this stuff, and then I've shown where he gives a speech to CAUSA, which was a Mooney front anti-communist group, had an anti-communist veneer. Like, if you're a Republican, you would join CAUSA, but it was at the top a Mooney-run group to get people into the Unification Church and to support the Reverend Sung Mung Moon. So he gives a speech there, and he gives a speech, and he's like virtue signaling, and being like, I love the Democratic mayor that we have in Los Angeles, and it's like, really? Like, okay. So I don't know. Like, I'm not saying everything Yuri Bezmenov says is bad. It's quite to the contrary. But you got to be weary of those things.
Well, I was going to make the comment on the post or the podcast in regard to, I've been saying communism in America has been fully installed for the last 50 years, with the exception of maybe some of what we talked about last hour, the education department of the United States being implemented more strongly in the 70s. But other than that, everything was applied. So my position's been for a long time, and in my book, that they're just maintaining what they've already established with all this chaos. And Yuri is probably part of that. They're just trying to hide what's already established in the United States. In my opinion, or my researched opinion, is the most successful installment of communism in the world. All these other things, the Soviet Union, China right now, who's being used as a boogeyman. Ooh, it's the Communist Party that started this virus. And we know it came from here. This is a boilerplate for the New World Order, folks. The United States was. And they've kept it quiet. Like you said, John, it's been installed under, what's that socialism again that you talk about?
Fabian socialism. Which, real quick on that,
go
Mr. Borkin, and I'll let you. But
go ahead. I'm pretty much done. I said my piece.
Yuri Bezmenov, pretty much like the way he was talking about, they used the line, well, they don't know, the left, the progressives, the communists, they're not the true liberals. They're not the true libertines. Okay. Mm. I am. And it's like, oh, really? And Gary Allen did the same thing. He wrote None Dare Call It a Conspiracy. He did the same thing to the John Birch Society speech he gave on Fabian Socialism. He's like, he gives a speech on Fabian Socialism, and he goes, well, the communists, they're not the real liberals, but I am. But then he gives a speech on Fabian Socialism, but doesn't really give any specifics of people that are practicing it within the government. And it's like, oh, okay, I see what this is. So you guys hate communism because it's a revolutionary spirit, because it's too messy, too out in the open. But you have no problems with Fabian Socialism because you're the true liberals. You're the true libertines. I would never say something like that, Mr. Pork, and you wouldn't either.
Right, silly. Right. Well, like I've said for years, the last paragraph or statement of the Communist Manifesto is they'll do it by any means necessary, including force. Well, the Civil War was the force in the United States. They just didn't impose it 100% like maybe Russia was said to. Or, you know, they're not using military. Well, we're under martial rule, not law right now, but we've been under martial rule for 150 years under the 14th Amendment. And the silent war is, like I said, they're getting people to vote, which causes a rebellion. So that's their secret war they have going on that no one knows about that takes everyone's rights away. And the United States is totalitarian in a sense, because all these civil rights acts and things, that's totalitarianism. People just don't see it. It's got a window dressing based probably, you know, like you said, on Fabian socialism, which they did implement after their force of the Civil War. They slowly implemented everything into current day. And like I said, they're still doing things. And I think a lot of what they're doing now is probably scare tactics and things to maintain the communist system, which is, like I said, been in place for 50 years. Mike, you got anything to say? You've been pretty quiet this hour. Sorry.
Well, I tell you what, John wasn't on the first hour. I always enjoy listening to John. John is a veritable wealth of information.
Yes.
And, it fits so well. So when we have the ability to listen to John and his research, I like to listen more than talk.
Mm-hmm. Good enough. Scorpio, you have anything to add?
Well, I would only add this thing that, you know, when Gary Allen wrote his book, that was what, in the 1970s? Is that when it came out, John?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I've read that book, and, you know, it's really, you have to consider the time it was written. You know, at that time, this sort of information was really very secret. Very few people knew anything about it, you know. And so the way I look at stuff like that is you have to just sort of use the information that you can and move on. And just remember that, you know, that was a very different time, and information was much more hidden.
That's it. Thanks, Dave. We got a break. The last segment's coming up. Stay tuned. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
She
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is September 18th. Thanks for joining us. Want to say hi to everyone out there and also to people in the chat room. I'm not going to go through all the names, but we got a pretty good house worked out there. Hello, Mona. Nice joining you a couple weeks ago. Hi, Pat Rabbit. Scorpio, of course, is with us. Laird, a bunch of other good people. Dumpster Diver. All the usual suspects. Yeah, if you want to join us in the chat room, you can go to, I've had problems getting into the website chat room with Firefox. I don't know what's going on with that. But, yeah, I think they're in the process of redoing the website. But if you go to the website at either freedomslips.com or revolution.radio, you can get in there and just follow the instructions. I think they're requiring you to sign up, which requires an email. But, yeah, we've had problems in the past with spammers and whatever. So they're doing that now. But also, with those same web addresses, we're listener-supported. And if you could donate, we'd really appreciate that. And you can do that at the same addresses, freedomslips.com, freedomslips.com, or revolution.radio, and the donate button's at the top of the page. And we're talking about this and that. John Reason joined us this hour, and glad to have him. I just wanted to say one thing in some relevance to what I've said recently and to what was said last half hour, and to what Mike brought up in a positive notation last hour in regards to his community kind of waking up and things. I've said, I watch movies because I like to see what message they might have in them. And I've used Gladiator as maybe a reference to help educate people to what we are facing right now. And if you watch the movie Gladiator by Ridley Scott, the main purpose of the movie was to bring Rome back to the Republic and to the people, as the movie related. And the Caesar of the time wanted to do that, take it back out of the empire and give it back to the people, give the Senate back to the people. Well, the Republic has been gone since the Civil War, and I can point to a spot in the code. There are statutes where they've actually admitted that, that we lost the Republic during the Civil War. And they use that verbiage too. And again, that's when the communists took over. And, but we see what happens with these leaders such as Lincoln or Trump. I believe Lincoln wouldn't go along with, the 14th Amendment is why they knocked him off. But then we see Kennedy kind of spilling the beans, in the 60s. And of course they knocked him off. So I guess my point is if the people of America are educated and start pushing based on the truth, that it's going to force these people into the corner. And yeah, rabid dogs bite back and fight back if they get pushed into the corner. But really, folks, it's all we have. And I know a lot of people in the world are looking to the United States to fix things. And as I said, last segment to last half hour, that this is the boilerplate for the New World Order, and I think a lot of people understand that because our military has been used to police the world, to get these countries into the world communist shape they need to be in that Marx set forth. And all these peace treaties on that note are going on right now, I wouldn't get too excited because Marx said once the world accepted socialism that there would be peace. So I think to the point in the world where they're almost happy with what's going on as far as world communism. So they're putting a period or an end to their program. So, it's my whole point of this little dissertation is it's going to take people doing what they need to do and pushing with truth. So you need to share this material with other people because you're not going to hear any clearer or more truth than on this program today. As we talked about a little bit with John last half hour, a lot of these people will tell you a lot of truth, but they'll tell you a bunch of nonsense. And I'm here to tell you that Flat Earth and all these people talking these things are probably shills or just not worth listening to. They're a waste of time. And I know there's a lot of them out there. And I know everyone on this program today is honest, and I believe so. I have a good bullshit detector, and I don't see any real faults between any of us. Of course, I myself can only testify for myself. So anyway, having said that, John, you want to continue or – you have anything to add? Go ahead.
One last thing I wanted to bring to Scorpio is that Gary Allen was a long-term member of the John Birch Society, almost possibly since its inception. Whereas the John Birch Society was started and paid for by Rockefeller money, according to Eustace Mullins, who was a former JBS member, but I think he was a whistleblower and turned away from the John Birch Society by the end of his life. The thing is, like I've shown, is Gary Allen was an advisor to Nelson Bunker Hunt. Now, I don't necessarily think that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was our guy. I don't think any president has been. But some people still believe that JFK was fighting against the deep state. So if that was true, then the John Birch Society, by my belief, were one of the key players in the assassination of Kennedy because they thought Kennedy was a communist sympathizer. We had the wanted for treason posters that were put up by the Hunt brothers. So H.L. Hunt and his sons, Nelson and Lamar, were likely involved in the assassination of JFK. Officer J.D. Tippit, and the released JFK files turned out that he was the head of the John Birch Society chapter in Dallas. So I believe that his murder was to tie up loose ends by Oswald or whomever had killed him. So if Gary Allen was a lead advisor to Nelson Bunker Hunt, and Nelson Bunker Hunt is not a good guy. The Hunts did horrible things. They tried to quarter the silver market. They helped start the Council for National Policy, and they were starting members of the John Birch Society. And on top of that, the Hunts also, when their silver was going to be seized by the United States government, they loaded it into three cargo planes and shipped it to the Altiqua Bank in Switzerland. Of course, the Altiqua Bank in Switzerland would go on to fund Al-Qaeda, which, of course, is a United States propped up CIA boogeyman that they used to, quote unquote, justify the Middle East wars. So, yeah, Allen isn't as trustworthy as people believe him to be. And just like that speech I brought up earlier with Allen, he literally goes, well, I'm a liberal and those progressives, they're not liberals, but I'm a liberal. Okay, why wouldn't you just say why would you say I'm a conservative? Like, or I lean right, so those are my issues with Allen and my issues with none dare call it a conspiracy. I think it's a limited hangout even for the time. So,
well, sure. I'm not here to defend Gary Allen, but, it depends on what level of the conspiracy you're looking at. For example, like the John Birch Society, there always were some, odd things about it. But a lot of the John Birch thing was just sort of, local people coming together in little groups and talking about things, So it depends if you're analyzing it at the macro level or the micro level, much like, you can say, well, look at how evil the Vatican is and, the Pope, blah, 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 blah. But then there's certain priests on the ground that are actually doing really good things for their local community. Do you see what I'm saying? It just depends on.
I agree with you 100%. No, I agree with you 100%. Just because someone's a member of the John Birch Society doesn't mean that they're a bad person or part of some grand conspiracy. Don't get me wrong. You can say that about anything. The CFR, the CMP, right. Your average, third degree Mason, they don't know what the 32nd or the 33 degree does. Or even, like you said, the Pope and the Vatican. My best friend's mother's Catholic, for example, So, yeah. Yes, I agree with you on that 100%. But the thing is these people aren't just – the people I'm mentioning, like Gary Allen, the Hunts, they're at the tippity top, So if they're steering a lot of what is talked about, even to the local chapters of the John Birch Society, through the literature that they're spreading out, that's why I think a lot of that literature, though there is some truth in it, do not get me wrong. However, because it is controlled by those people at the top, it's a limited hangout. And yes, there are many people in the local chapters of the John Birch Society who mean well. They're patriots. They want what's best for their country. But they don't realize that the John Birch Society was sold out and done by the elite in its inception to control conspiracy theorists and to control patriots.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. But what's interesting, the side effect of this is that information gets out. People may be in a limited hangout, but then a lot of people will go beyond it and go, well, that was a good read. I learned a few things from Gary Allen's book, but now I'm going to go on to some more research and see where it takes me. So they're playing a game and they're trying to control information coming out. But in another sense, you can't completely control that, especially now as you can just pretty much Google anything you want, even with all the censorship. Information's never been easier to get a hold of than it is right now.
That's true. Mike, you had something to add? I believe.
Well, I have another question for John. Imagine that. John, how did Larry McDonald play into JBS and the national scene?
Larry McDonald's a tricky one. All right. Because yes, he was a part of the John Birch Society. He was a member of the Council for National Policy. He was a member of Major General John K. Singlob's Western Goals Foundation. Roy Cohn took over after Lawrence McDonald was killed in a 007 flight, supposedly by the Russians. I don't know about Larry. I could see both things, Mike, that he was being puppeted by these people. Remember, he was a Democrat, though. So, absolutely. I mean, but the Democrats meant something different back then, too. But, I mean, I don't have an answer for Larry. I can see it both ways. Like, the company he keeps was abysmal. But maybe they just used him, and he was a true believer and thought that he was really fighting against world anti-communism. And that's why they assassinated him, because he woke up to it. I really don't know. I don't know the case of Larry McDonald.
I wonder, John, about him because he is the last member of Congress to have a 100% voting record constitutionally as a member of Congress. Plus, his classic battles here in the state of Georgia, his classic ongoing battles with Newt Gingrich were epic. And I've just been trying in my mind to place Larry McDonald into this huge puzzle for a couple of decades now.
Is there a possibility, Mike, like Ron Paul, that he's put up there as just like a champion of the people, but he was just involved in the rest of it? But then again, they did assassinate Larry McDonald, and they didn't have, you know, nothing's happened to Ron Paul. So I really don't have, again, Larry McDonald, he's one of the rare ones that I put a question mark. I don't know.
Who was supposed to be on the plane with Larry McDonald but canceled at the last moment?
I don't remember. Who was that?
Senator Jesse Helms from North Carolina.
Oh, so Jesse Helms set him up, because Jesse Helms was very much big with the Council for National Policy and very much in with the deep state. He was my senator. Mm-hmm. He was part of the Latin American death squads and the Ron Contra affair. I mean, he was part of it true and true. So, yeah, it's very interesting. Hey, Larry, I'm going to take a flight with you, but something came up. I can't do it. Just go ahead. You know, you'll be all right. I'll see you back. You know,
yeah, well, anytime those people opt out, someone opts out at the last minute, it's always, and your background on Helms is exactly as I have researched myself. And I thought it was very unusual that they had made plans to make this trip together, and then Helms backs out at the last moment.
Mm. Yeah, Larry is a very question. I don't label him as one of them, because there's so many mysterious circumstances that I, like you mentioned with Helms, which I didn't remember that. But yeah, I mean, for him, I don't like the company he keeps is horrible, but I don't know why they would have killed him. There's no reason to, like, he didn't even be made a martyr for any causes in his death. You know, like he just, the Soviets took him out supposedly, and then nothing came of it. It didn't spark anything.
What year was that? Do you remember 007? What year?
I have to look it up real quick. It was in the 80s. I know that much. Early 80s.
Hmm. Okay.
1983. September 1st, 1983.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Word is, at least in the intelligence community at the time of where I was gainfully employed, the word in the intelligence community was that McDonald had some information on the fiasco at Kent State, and that he was getting ready to open a whole big kettle of worms over that. So, but I there's no reliability to that. I just wanted to throw it out there because that was one of the things that was circulating through the intelligence community at the time that the plane was shot down, 007.
That's interesting. Huh. Maybe. I mean, again, with Larry McDonald, I just don't. Do you know if he was involved with the rest of them and the Latin American destabilization by the CIA and anything like that that was going on during the 70s and the 80s?
Well, I think he was. And, you know, what was that was going on at Fort Benning, the College of the Americas or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
He had some connection with that.
Hmm.
Speaking of weird things that happened in regard to who do you trust, Newt Gingrich was on Fox just a couple days ago and mentioned Soros. And both the people or the women that were on there say, we're not going to talk about George Soros.
Yeah, did you catch the look on their face? It was like they could not believe they had been hit full in the face with a canoe paddle. They were not expecting Gingrich. But I think Gingrich did it for effect, because they have to throw out there every once in a while that somebody's on to the scam. I do not think that the host of that show were ready for that at all.
Yeah.
But again, with Gingrich, who's behind? I know there are a lot of people behind him, but who's does anybody know anybody specifically behind him? Is it the Kissinger? Is it the Kochs? Because, you know, Gingrich is not our guy, obviously. He's a swamp dweller as well. But yes. It's just interesting. I think they're just playing a game because they're like, oh, Soros, you can't mention him. He's the ultimate boogeyman. Ooh. I'm not, you know, excluding, you know, Soros is guilty of numerous crimes.
Right? Oh, yeah. Sedition.
They make him the lightning rod, though. You know, that's my issue with it.
Well, I think Gingrich bringing him up served that purpose very well. I do not think Gingrich was about to expose Soros at all. But from time to time, there has to be that person who reemphasizes that position, and it's having the desired effect. If you've ever worked in an intelligence type environment, you see what these events create, the waves that they create. And I just watched the internet to watch what was happening, and you know, suddenly they start jerking down all the references, all the videos, and everything to his statement on Soros. But I think that was part of the plan, John.
Mm. Do you think they're throwing him under the bus? I mean, you can see the Democrats getting totally thrown under the bus right now.
Well, it's all a huge psyop. It all is done for emotional stimulation among the masses, and that's what it's for. And suddenly there's going to be that people who were screaming and yelling for the contract with America, whose Newt Gingrich was their hero, who will suddenly now stand up and say, see, I told you so. He's got our backs.
This made Fox look suspicious, totally, though.
Well, it made the hosts, the two hosts look suspicious. But
well,
Fox
yeah.
should be suspicious to start with. Fox sold out a long time ago, if they were ever anything else.
Yeah, I don't think they were.
No, Roger Ailes, look at that, and you know, how many people know Roger Ailes is responsible for Rush Limbaugh?
Right. He's tied in with the Mormons, too, wasn't he? What's his name?
Glenn Beck?
Mitt Romney?
Oh, well.
Romney, yes. And well, Glenn Beck.
What was that corporation, John? Bain Corporation? Was that what... Mitt Romney had when
yes, Bain Capital.
Yeah, when they gave Rush his first almost $1 million a week contract.
I mean, Mitt Romney's one of the biggest swamp dwellers that ever existed. He's deeply involved in the troubled teen industry within the United States, the connections to Bain Capital and the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs. And both him and the Kochs are deeply involved in the for-profit prison system, which actually came about by Jack Eckerd, who owned Eckerd Drug Stores in the early 90s, and it was backed by the Heritage Foundation and backed by the Council for National Policy, all these for-profit prisons that exist.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I mean, Fox, it's interesting because when did the Truth Movement decided to start trusting Fox News again as the paragon of truth? This is 2010, we'd all be laughing. We'd be like, well, Fox News? Chills.
Well, the only thing they've got, John, which you have touched on, and I'm going to have to go look at your videos on this, is Tucker Carlson, because there are a multitude of people who are stuck that Tucker Carlson is the savior.
Yeah, he's not. I'm sorry if anybody believes that. And there's same thing. There's things that Tucker talks about that tickles my ears, right? But then again, he keeps having a revolving door of people on that. You know, I mean, go look at what Tucker Carlson said about anybody who believed 9/11 was an inside job, and him, you know, insulting Alex Jones. Alex Jones later had Tucker on, which is hilarious. After mm-hmm. Tucker talks so much crap about him, because they're all in bed with each other, and then Tucker still pushes the, you know, the Arabic hijackers did 9/11 line. Come on, people, come on. He said anybody who believes 9/11 in his inside job is not a patriot and should leave the country.
Yeah,
he hasn't changed.
Well, they have to. Once you establish those people, it's like Rush Limbaugh. You get those people out there. You get the people on the hook. And then they will not even try to wiggle off, no matter how much evidence you produce, because they have an affinity to that person. And, of course, that is discussed in PSYOPs quite a bit as well, is that once you get those people on the hook, they almost never jump off.
Having that said, why don't you tell us what you got going on with your program, Mike? Tell the people where to get a hold of it or listen.
Thank you. Sunday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, Addicted to Your Own Destruction. You know, and I've got probably the greatest producer on the planet there in Scorpio. we'll be discussing this week, secession, is it constitutional, and were the people of the South traitors? That will be the subject for this week.
Good, good. I think all the states should stay together as much as possible now to keep this thing together.
Yeah, the Cokes want secession. The Cokes want secession.
They want everyone broken up, according to that Australian guy we talk about. I don't want to get into him right now. Scorpio, your program on Saturdays. Get a plug. Go ahead.
Yeah, Saturdays from 12 to 3, Studio A.
Scorpio's conspiracy show, right?
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, my name's LB Bork. I host The Ultimate Remedy. It's on Tuesdays at 6 to 8 in Studio A here at Revolution Radio. Some days I can talk well, some days I can't. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, yeah, I'm not as bad as Biden. So thanks for listening, folks. This has been Dare to Think Out Loud. Want to thank all our panelists. And it's been great. The second hour was wonderful. First hour was good, but I always like having John on. It's a wealth of knowledge in regards to the players and the truth in that regard. My program deals with people trying to fix themselves and using their law as they've approved to do. And more people have to be getting into that. And that's what we're centering on The Ultimate Remedy with lately. So, yeah, join us in Studio A Tuesdays, 6 to 8 p.m. And hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. Stay safe. And don't be deceived. There's a lot of that out there.
Revolution.